The Five Leadership Questions podcast is brought to you by Ministry Grid, an online video-based training resource for all the leaders and volunteers at your church. To learn more and to get a two-week free trial, visit ministrygrid.com/howitworks. That's ministrygrid.com/howitworks. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Hey, and welcome to the Five Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Barnabas Piper, here with Todd Adkins.
What?
And Daniel M.
Hello, hello.
I like how you go, hello, hello. This is becoming a consistent rhythm. After 125 or 6 episodes, we finally have some consistency.
Fruit Loops. I said Cheerios. Fruit Loops.
Good night.
Frosted Flakes.
Well, Todd's caffeinated. I see Diet Mountain Dew. Woo! Daniel and I have coffee. This will be energetic.
Hey, at least it's not amp.
It's not an amp or a rock star or anything like that.
It's true. Is that more or less poisonous?
Well, I don't know. Because the other ones at least have like vitamin B and stuff in them. I think this is just straight. I don't know.
Amount of vitamin B are you allowed to say you have vitamin B?
It's hundreds of percent.
Putting vitamin B in an energy drink is like putting no trans fat on a box of Krispy Kreme donuts. Like, I don't think that actually means anything. It just fools people into thinking it will kill you slower. All right, so let's make a quick transition from Todd's dietary habits into a mention of our sponsor, that is Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. I know that some people from the seminary listen. I wonder if they just cringe when we go from talking complete nonsense to talking about how great they are.
No, because they like to have a good time.
Okay, that's true.
I mean, if you think about the different seminaries that we interact with.
They're the fun one?
I'm not going to say that. Barnabas?
Well,
but they know how to have a good time.
No, we're just putting the other seminaries on notice that they too can sponsor the podcast and have nice things said about them.
This is very true.
But they need to be more fun. So Southeastern Seminary, we have mentioned them for the last several episodes. They're a consistent partner of Lifeways, sponsor of the podcast. You can go to sebts.edu, that's Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary.edu/5LQ to learn more about their many degrees. They offer MDivs and multiple other master's degrees. The focus of everything they do is the Great Commission. So whether they're sending out people to be vocational pastors or missionaries or just theological degrees that can be taken into the marketplace, That is their focus, is making disciples. You've heard Danny Aiken say it on this podcast. You heard Bruce Ashford reiterate it, and you see it in their graduates. So we are excited to partner with them in a lot of different ways. So go to sebts.edu/5LQ to learn more. If you are interested in applying, if what you see there interests you, use the code 5LQ at checkout and you'll get a discount on your application fee. So that is something that they worked out for listeners of the podcast. So code 5LQ, get a discount on that application fee, and all will be well, and you'll get a great education and work with some great, great professors who are way more fun than other seminaries.
That's a big matzo ball we just put out there.
It is.
Or it's a really low bar to clear.
I don't know. Now we're even more offensive. We should probably
Should we move into our topic of the day?
Yes. Well, we could probably have another one of the seminaries sponsor the New Churches podcast.
That's true. There we go. Put in a plug for yours.
Product placement.
I mean, technically, done. I'm on there half the time too.
That's true. Todd co-hosts both in some capacity. Well, there's a touch of irony in the fact that all three of us are sitting
in
our
capacity when I'm hosting.
There's a touch of irony in the fact that we're all sitting in our tiny closet-like studio here because we're talking about mobile work as the topic of the day, and yet we are all in the same room. This is a rare occasion. There's probably about one or two days a week that any of us are in the same room. Most of the time, one of us is off somewhere working off-site. So that is the topic of the day is working mobily. So our first question is simply, how is the work environment changing to make mobile work a point of emphasis for organizations? So how have things shifted over the last several years? How do we see them shifting? Why is this such a significant thing?
I mean,
the biggest thing I would say is with technology increasing with broadband and the internet speed, you know, going up and people just, you know, computers now. Remember when you had to buy an external webcam and you like hook it onto the top of your computer?
Yeah, it looked like a little like fisheye kind of thing.
Exactly. Or you'd have to even plug in earphones or there'd be feedback here and there. And I mean,
IBM had the little like the little dot, the little trackball or whatever in the middle of their keyboard.
Yeah.
Instead of having a little mouse pad. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the technological advancements have paved the way for mobile work to be less intrusive and less of a distraction than it would have been 5-10 years ago, where you'd have to rely on a phone. Mm-hmm. You know, now you could just do a quick message. And I mean, there's enough work that can get done that when you have a little bit of a balance of doing mobile work and in-person work, it's a lot easier for organizations to do that than to go complete, hey, our entire team is offsite all the time in different areas of the country.
Well, I mean, I think if you look historically, you see, I can go all the way back to email. Email was actually invented by IBM and they thought it was going to save so much time, and it did for 2 weeks. And then it proliferated from there to be a huge time waste, time suck. It sucked the time out of people's days because
you could have just stopped right before the time out of people's days.
Well, and that's where it was. Because what happened was you had cheap communication. It didn't cost me anything, but it cost us everything. It went from being something that was, you know, if I were to give you a memo, it would take me more significant time to invest in that, print it off, and have it, you know, taken by your desk, you to read, so on and so forth. So what happened was people started communicating poorly, in that they would, instead of saving things or thinking through things and processing them well, you know, we see that all the time. You end up having 9 different email exchanges over one issue, where it could have been handled in a 5-minute conversation, or one well thought out email. And so, you know, I think that's a big issue, in that it's taken us a while to get there because we've had to go through.
It's like we had to learn how to email effectively.
Yeah, we had to learn how to email effectively. We had to learn how to use technology effectively. And so now that it's, and we had to wait for everybody to get caught up and bought in. Yeah. And now you're at a place where over 80% of the population, adult population in the U.S. has a smartphone, according to Nielsen's last study. So that way, you know, hey, everybody's got the ability to basically send and receive email. Yeah. But the big thing is, I think, with mobile work changing, especially for churches in particular, is we've seen the proliferation of multi-site. So my first experience with mobile work was actually in my church like 7 years ago, because we had grown several campuses in short order, and we basically had a rule, hey, if it's within 60 miles, it's fair game for campuses. Well, the problem with that is you have people that could be up to 2 hours apart, especially with DC traffic, two different pastors that, you know, were part of the same church. And so we had to do things like have core meeting days. So the reason why all three of us are here is because Mondays and Wednesdays, it's a core day for us. It's a core day for our team. If we have a meeting, we're going to have it on Monday and Wednesday. And I think that's just a good example of what mobile work begins to look like, because you can leverage people's time commuting. They don't waste time commuting. They don't waste time in extra meetings or other things that, you know, being part of a regular work environment can sometimes just do inadvertently.
Yeah. And when we're not here, we can just call into our little iPad faced robots and we can just kind of go into
you
the
have
same
those?
Room.
You must have a different budget than I do.
That would be awesome.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
I think there's a couple other things that affect mobile work and why it's becoming a common thing and something that pretty much every organization needs to think through. The first is overhead. With the economy being what it is, margins tend to be smaller for businesses. So if a business can reduce its overhead, so whether that's like what Lifeway has done, where we realized we don't need whatever it was, 1.2 million square feet of office space or something.
Yeah.
Todd's drooling Mountain Dew.
I mean, the operational costs just to keep that up.
So we reduced our footprint by like 60, 70, 80%, whatever it was, to a smaller space. And part of the way to do that is to have people rotating out of the building. Any given day, only a portion of the workforce will be there when we get the new building up. And it's true right now. So overhead is a piece. You get to cut on that. The other is simply the expectation of flexibility. If you're going to hire anybody who's good at what they do these days, there's very rare that people are going to be willing to go spend 8+ hours a day at an office every day of the week in any sort of professional or ministerial level job. Whereas if you say, you know, you have a couple days a week where you can work from home, or you can take afternoons and go do work off site, or just the flexibility of, like this morning, I just emailed the team early and said, hey, I'm going to be in a couple hours late or a couple hours later than normal, because I need to get my kids off to school. But I could be on email during that time. I could be, you know, packing their lunches and handling a couple things kind of all at the same time. That flexibility is a perk of the job. And if you don't offer that, you're handcuffing people.
Yeah, and that's and with mobile work, you know, you have basically a different paradigm of how you measure effectiveness, mm-hmm. right? So instead of just saying, hey, effectiveness is clocking in and clocking out, which is easy to do at a physical location,
right.
That doesn't actually equate effectiveness because there may be 2 or 3 or 4 coffee breaks of 20 minutes throughout the entire day.
Yeah, time spent at a place does not equate to work done.
So it's no longer about hours, it's about outcomes.
Yeah,
so that's a blessing and a curse.
And that actually sets up our second question, because the second question is, how can leaders or managers keep track of and measure results or successes with a mobile team? So if you have people who are working from all over the DC area or all over the Nashville area or even across the country, my brother runs a website and he has had employees in multiple different states. So how do you measure results? How do you make sure that people are keeping track? Because historically, the manager can just walk around and make sure that people are seemingly doing their jobs. So what does that look like mobily?
And that's where I think you need, leaders and managers need a good grasp of what an individual is able to do. They need to be able to estimate and predict the capacity of their employee, because, you know, you read, what's that guy's name? The 4-Hour Workweek?
Tim Ferriss.
Yeah, Tim Ferriss. I mean, this guy, he wrote this book all about how to kind of play hooky and only put in 4 hours a week, but pretend that you're doing 40 hours or more. And I mean, there's this whole idea around kind of this
it's almost
dream.
Like stealing time back for yourself.
Yeah,
although I don't
exactly.
know if he would phrase it just like that.
Yeah, so I mean, with that, I mean, a poor manager or a leader who does not know what one of their team members is capable of would really open the door wide to something like that when they have mobile work,
yeah.
right? So for the leader or manager to be able to know, okay, what can my team do? And then to be able to regularly see their progress, or even be able to measure their capacity and see if that's, you know, maintaining or going down or going up. I mean, that's where that'd be important for the leader or manager to do.
I think opening the door to those kinds of things is actually a good thing if that is clearly stated. So, I mean, so for example, when Lifeway made the official shift from everybody should be in the office, you know, approximately 8 hours a work day, to we're going to be flexible with our schedules, it's going to be a work from anywhere culture. Selma Wilson, who is the VP over, what is she, people development?
Leadership development.
You know, essentially the culture of Lifeway, the work culture of Lifeway. She gave examples and said, so if you need to go into your kid's school in the morning to go, you know, be in the classroom, or because they have a celebration, or you need to go to a doctor's appointment, whatever, you don't have to clock out for that. The flexibility just says you get that work done that you would have done during those 2 hours another time. And so the expectation becomes, yeah, you're not stealing time back from the company. It's an objectives-based thing, because you're simply focusing on getting that work done. So I think that the way that leaders and managers have to do it is say, we have real clear expectations on what you will do and when you will do it. I mean, when you will complete it. So you have deadlines on stuff. And so that means if you're going to split your day between some different things, that's not a bad thing, so long as you're doing quality work by the time it needs to be done. You're present for the things you need to be present for. And you just sort of have this framework of expectations.
Well, I think we have historically we have an issue in the church with measuring things that are easy to measure.
Yes.
Just because it's easy to measure doesn't mean it's important. So it's the whole nickels and noses conversation. It's easy for us to count, you know, the offering, and it's easy for us to count people. And so that's
easy for us to alliterate things, even if it's kind of cheesy, like nickels and noses.
I didn't claim to come up with the phrase.
I didn't say you did. I said we. It was sort of the royal church we.
This guy is the king of tweeting, right?
I mean, whatever. He's Mr. Turnaphrase over here.
Okay. Mr. Turnaphrase.
Turnaphrase.
Again, then, as I said, it's about outcomes. It's not about hours.
See another tweet.
Boom. No, it's true though. If you, and part of that is the way that you measure that, is how you said, you know, we're putting either lead measures into place, mm-hmm. or we're not necessarily measuring time. That's good for some people because some people will be able to knock out their given work more quickly, even in way less than 40 hours. And that's fine. But what I think you want to focus on is a culture that is passionate and bought into the vision and mission, but also into each other.
Yeah.
Because in that way, if you have a strong culture and a strong team, somebody is going to feel the pressure of everyone else. They're not going to slack off. They're either going to self-select off your team, or they're going to feel the pressure of the rest of the team on them. Because if everybody else is doing their job, it's going to be hard for you to fake it.
Yeah.
Over time. The other thing that I think comes up in a little bit is the whole idea of communication. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, hey, if this person isn't regularly available for communication or meetings or this or that, something else is going on here.
Yeah,
completely. What you just said about the culture of the team and essentially the quality of the team in terms of work level, availability, all those things, raising the level, that answered one of the questions I was going to pose, which is, how does a manager or leader resolve it when they get the sense that somebody who's working mobily is taking advantage of that opportunity sort of lazily taking advantage of it instead of maximizing that freedom? You know, so it's just like any freedom. It can be used for good and you can use it to do all the things you're supposed to do as well as you can, or it can be taken advantage of poorly. How does a leader manage it if they get the sense that somebody's sort of abusing that privilege, so to speak?
Well, that's where, I mean, picking up the old fashioned phone and just calling, if you have something you need to talk about, mm-hmm. Or something, instead of sending the quick email or text, just call them and see how they respond, or if they respond, or if they pick up, especially if it's during the day.
Right.
And then do it. I mean, not like to say, hey, I'm always going to check up on you. But if you do it a few times here and there, you'll eventually be able to see, okay, if they're picking up, I mean, they should pick up quickly if they're at home and if they're working.
No joke. If they don't, unless you have a meeting on your schedule.
Yeah.
You should pick up
when I
call. And that's not to say, okay, so if you've got something that's significant in your schedule that you're going to be out of pocket for a certain period of time, you need to note that on your calendar. Yeah. If you're going to be at your kids, if it's field day and you're going to be there from 12 to 2 because you're, you know, manning the grill, dude, I'm fine with that, but put it on your calendar and let's have a...
So you know that you don't call.
Yeah.
There's no point in calling then.
I know that this person is not working during this time. It's almost like, it is really a blessing and a curse, the fact that we all have smartphones and they never turn off. And, you know, we're knocking out different things at different times of the day.
I was uploading podcasts at 10 o'clock last night because my kids were asleep and my wife was working, and I was like, well, all right,
I may as well get some stuff done.
Yeah.
And so it's, for some people, that is the last thing in the world. They want some personality types in particular, they would like a set time and place, and, you know, I want it all really controlled. And I'm really sorry, but there are very few spots for you in the future where you're going to be able to dictate that. And especially, you know, it's always been that way in ministry. Yeah. So, you know, when you love ministry, when life is ministry, I don't care whether or not you work at a church, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot of sort of spillage into parts of life. Yeah. Well, let's hit our third question. And Todd, you already began to answer this one when you were talking about the culture of the people working together. But the question is, how can leaders create a team environment with mobile workers? So, and mobile can be you can be work from home one day a week, or you can be cross-country teammates who, you know, you're part of the same organization, but one has a Southern California office and the other's in Nashville. You're both on the same team. So there's a range here, but how do you create a team environment? Like we are all pulling together. We are all working together. We're not just sort of contractors on a project, but rather actual teammates when the environment is mobile work and mobily driven.
I read an interesting article on this on HBR recently about global teams and how you and this is permanently global teams that are all over. How do you build team morale? You know, how do you do all that kind of thing and things? And what they actually recommended was to have one or two get-togethers a year.
Yeah, but in a central location.
Yeah, but not just to do it in one location always, but to actually rotate where all the other mobile workers are, right?
And it's almost like visiting their home, so to speak, or at least their home office.
Yeah, because then you're together, you're in face, you're face to face with each other. But then you're able to learn the intangibles or the culture that isn't there otherwise. In a church setting, let's say you actually have, there is obviously that central location if you're one campus, but let's say you are in a multi-site. Model, right? Then you could actually do this where you're rotating from
campus to campus.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that makes a lot of sense because obviously shared experience is a big portion of being on a team. So shared conversations, shared meals, just those intersection points of life. And so if I spend time at your campus, I begin to see, when you talk about your facility having these limitations, or when you talk about your community, I drove through the community on the way in, I may not know it in and out, but I now have a sense of what you're talking about. If I work in Orlando and you work in Seattle, if I visit there a couple times a year, I begin to get a sense of who you are, what you do, why you do it.
So as we went multi-site, we from time to time would meet at other campuses for our all staff meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now it took extra time out of people's time to of course drive there. Sometimes we would do something, before or after that was more service oriented, especially if it was a new campus. It helped people understand the setting, the environment for those theologues, Sitzenleben of the area.
It increases the empathy.
What was that word?
Sitzenleben. Sitzenleben.
It's a German word that I'm sure has a paragraph long definition. What is it?
It's biblical criticism, understanding. It's taking all the context of that day, that time, that place into consideration when looking at the text.
Okay, I can see why you put that in one word, even German.
Sorry.
It increases
the empathy as well, because the
occasionally I have to remind people that I'm not a complete pragmatist and that I do have a theological education.
Like whatever episode on the New Churches podcast, and you said sacerdotalism, and we had
that one came up on this podcast too. Okay, Todd had about a 2-week stretch where that was his hobby horse, and so it did came up repeatedly.
Okay, empathy. So back to my point, empathy. The results of being on a mobile work team is that your communication with one another is short. It's quick emails or it's text messages or phone calls here and there. And a lot of that phone call, that conversation is work oriented. There's not a lot of personal talk because, when you're together, right, then there's a little bit more of a social pressure to say, oh, hey, how was your day? Or, to have that. But when it's your mobile working, you don't necessarily have to do that.
Right.
Now, the benefit of coming together occasionally is that you're able to build those relationships, build that empathy with one another so that the next time someone asks you for something and you're like, man, this is the sixth time they've asked for that thing, you're able to empathize with them. You're able to be like, okay, well, give them the benefit of the doubt rather than thinking they're a jerk or something.
Yeah. I think this may bleed into our next question. So I'll say ask the next question. And so the other thing I would say is simply the use of social media, because not so much for work, but just for interaction. Before I came to Lifeway, I had begun, you know, just tweeting back and forth with a handful of people here. So developing just that, I mean, it's a very surface level thing, but you get a sense of someone's sense of humor. Yeah. You get a sense of their interests. You get a sense of, you know, the things that they like. You know, they're tweeting about football or music or social justice or whatever it is. And so when I came here, there was three or four or five people who, when I met them, there was a bit of that baseline of, oh, we can strike up a conversation because I know something about, you know, they're a University of Tennessee fan. They're a, you know, they like the Blues. They whatever, you know, where's the best barbecue joint? Because I know you tweet about that stuff all the time. Those kinds of things can be really helpful if you're a mobily disparate team, because it adds the personal element back in.
So it's Twitter stalking, really, Barnabas?
It's Twitter. No, it's putting the social in social media, Todd.
Twitter stalking.
This is that was a bit of a shot at Mr. Lever Puller and Twitter dark arts over here. All right, next question. What are good habits or what are good habits or practices for mobile workers for productivity and communication? So this is practical. Just if you are working mobily, what are good habits and practices to develop for your own productivity and for communication with your team?
Well, for a team that works mobily, the team needs to agree on a set of tools that they use. So if it's
like collaborative tools.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if your team is by and large a mobile team, then fully migrate to Google Docs, for example, or to, you know, the Google Drive, that ecosystem, or use Evernote, or because you could do kind of like a business version of that, or you know, maybe it's what is it, Outlook Cloud, or whatever that Microsoft 360, right? So I mean, whatever that is, I mean, but whatever it is, have a core set of tools so that there's not this tension of, okay, I just created something, but now I need to upload it somewhere. That then there's going to be multiple versions of it,
right,
and you don't know which one is the latest.
Yeah, and you can see you can track what everybody's doing. Exactly. And our last question is about collaborative tools, so we'll get into the nitty gritty on that. But an agreed upon set of tools is a good starting point, so that everybody's working in the same digital space, same arena on anything shared. I think that makes sense. I think what Todd said earlier is a really helpful one. This is super practical. If you do not have a set schedule, so if you're not a 7 to 4 and you're going to be breaking your day up, you need to note those things so that people know what expectations to have. I mean, it's just, it'll help you know that for these 2 hours, I'm not working, but that also means I need to make sure that I create time to get done what I need to get done. And so it's better for the people you're working with, and it's better for your own sort of your mental scheduling of your day to say, if I'm rearranging my day, I still need to build in the time to complete these tasks either before or after that block of time.
I think too, even though we dropped and punted one of ours this morning, you know, like I said before, we have core days. We have Monday and Wednesday where we know everybody's going to be here. We can get caught up with each other. One of the strategic things that we do more often than not is have a stand-up meeting on those days. Mm-hmm. And a stand-up meeting is basically just, it's meant to be 15 minutes or less, and you are standing up so nobody gets too comfortable. But you're just going around and saying three things. What am I working on today? What did I work on yesterday? And what blockers do I have? And it's really good to be able to identify, to get caught up, and also identify anything that we need to address. If multiple people are having the same blocker, then obviously it's something that needs to be tackled and taken out. There are some things that are best for you to do in person. And so those are the kind of things that you want to handle on those days.
Todd, you use the word cadence, and that brings to mind one of the other things that has been beneficial for me. And that is since we split time between an office and offsite work, working from home or coffee shops or whatever, developing a cadence of what work you do where. So I know that when I'm at the office, there are just certain kinds of projects I'm not going to do. Like I can't really effectively edit podcasts here because office is full of interruptions. And that gets exacerbated when it's only 2 or 3 days a week because every conversation gets condensed into 2 or 3 days. But when I'm off site, I have all day to knock out specific kinds of work. So splitting your work between this is offsite work and this is onsite work, and you can build a schedule that way so that you're still hitting your deadlines, you're still doing the same things you need. But so for example, today in the office, my calendar is largely blocked out for meetings, conversations, collaborative stuff. And so I'm not going to do any project work. But tomorrow I'm working off site and I will do almost entirely that stuff. So splitting your work that way and developing a schedule that way creates a sense of, I don't need to stress when I'm here because I know I have tomorrow to do it. I don't need to stress tomorrow because I had the conversation yesterday.
And I would also say that everybody needs mobile work training or at least, to process what this means for their organization. If even just a part of your team is out, working mobily, a few days a week, what you need to consider is that person who is always at the office, is going to have to reset their brain on how to communicate, what to expect.
And
when
certain roles can't go off site. You know, if there's a,
it's true.
Or, you know, it's hard for a customer service agent to be off site, you know, cause they're, you know, an 8-to-5 phone bank kind of
job. Or your
job.
Church office secretary.
Right.
Right. It's kind of hard to.
Well, there's always those issues.
To man the door people where, in the church from home.
Yeah. You know, you try to block out specific times for specific things and somebody sends you an email that they need answered in an hour. That's not an email communique.
Right.
That is a phone call or a text.
Yeah. And then the other is there are some people who simply don't like mobile work. And so if you are a mobile worker, there has to be a bit of a give and take there, because there are people who say, no, this meeting needs to happen in person. And at some point you may need to go back and say, this is a thing that can happen via Google Hangout. Like, we don't have to do this.
Yeah. For some people, it's going to be, hey, you know, I'm sorry you can't wear sweatpants today. Come in.
That's right.
And for others, it's going to be, hey, you need to relax a little bit. I do think that that brings up, I should have brought this up in the very beginning, and I thought about it, but we were kind of already transitioning. But mobile work will mean that you hire differently because there's two types of people that may not be able to handle it. And that is the type of person that just needs the comfort and the felt safety of structure and being in a cubicle from 9-to-5.
I like how you said that in an empathetic tone.
I try. I'm not terribly empathetic.
Yeah, you softened your voice a little bit. That's good.
The other one is, you know, the jack wagon without giving the structure and support of having the time in the office and the regular, you know, check-ins of work.
You need self-managers.
Could be distracted.
Yeah. If people cannot manage themselves and lead themselves well, they can't do mobile work because it's just, I mean, it's letting a crazy dog off the leash. They're just going to run around and chase cars and not know what to do when they catch them and never get anything done.
Yeah.
So Daniel brought up suites of tools earlier. So getting on the same page in terms of tools, that is our last question. What are some of the best collaborative tools for mobile work? So for communication, for collaboration, for just whatever it is. And we've touched on some of these in previous podcasts, but if this is something your church is looking at, this is if you are a church plant, any context where you're going, what else is out there that may help us? Let's just rattle off some of our favorites and what we like about
them. I would say, first of all, just Google Activity Stream. Cause that's going to give you a good idea of a lot of times what people use a tool like, Slack or HipChat for is an activity stream. It's for us to have kind of a running conversation. That's,
concentrated.
That's
all
concentrated.
In one place.
That's all in one place.
Yeah.
And there are a number of different tools that are available to do that. I mentioned two of them already. Daniel, what do you
have? I mean, it's interesting. Earlier you said something about email, saying that if you have an urgent email that needs to be answered within the hour, that should be a phone call or a text. Now I want to kind of push back on that a little bit.
I know where you're going.
I think it depends on your team. And I think regardless of what tools you use, email is one of those central pieces, especially today with smartphones. I wouldn't have said this 3-4 years ago where the majority of people didn't have one. But I would say regardless of whether you use Google Docs or Microsoft, you know, the cloud or Slack or whatnot, email is something that every team will have. And I would suggest that you even have a set of email subject standards for your team, especially in regards to that. So let's say something is urgent and you do need it answered within the day, then I'd say, hey, agree as a team to have, you know, to have an urgent, you know, maybe it's capitals urgent that you stick on the front of your email, or have some sort of other messaging system so that the team knows, okay, if I see this, I need to respond to it within 4 hours.
Well, or if I see it, you know. But my point is, I may not see it. Yeah. If you need it within the hour, I may not see it. Within the day, you need to check your email every day.
Yeah.
But within the hour is different. And I would
especially
say that's
part
of the...
if you break your work into time blocks, like a lot of productivity people say, where, you know, you check your email now and then you don't for 3 hours.
Yeah.
If it comes in that 3 hour window, too bad for you.
Yeah. So that's where I'm like a text or an activity stream or a message, you know. So some people like, you know, some people just use Google or the old IM.
Well, we use Google Chat and Google Hangouts. We use basically this whole Google suite of tools here at Lifeway. So Google Chat is a great way if you see somebody else is online. So I just in terms of getting quick questions answered, hey, what was that link? Hey, you know, real quick questions. It's not great for a long drawn out thing. Yeah. But then the Google Documents, Google Sheets, all of the shared files and the ability to do live collab, you know, live edits on those. You can do that in a meeting where everybody's looking at the same thing and we're all working on it. Or you can do it individually. So, you know, we have a series of emails we're sending out and Kevin put them together and Kaylee's editing them and I'm scheduling them. I can see all of their work and know that this is the final. They all have it. It's all in one central place. So the Google suite of tools is great for those kinds of things. And then we use Basecamp for a lot of for project management. Yep. Basecamp's not a collaborative communication tool, but if we're working on a video, so who's writing the script, whatever, you can put in to-dos, you can put in schedules, you can attach files, and it's a real clean and simple interface. So it has its limitations, but it's really good for joint project management.
Yeah, and it's also really good when you have something that you need to do over and over and over again. When you have that system,
you can create a template.
Yeah, you create the template. It's a checklist. You know, you can sign out the due dates, assign it to people, and you're able to get the project done on time.
I think just simple tools like. I remember, 5 or 10 years ago, maybe not quite 10, when Skype was invented. And it was amazing because you could communicate with people across the country for free, except the internet connections weren't very good and the video was spotty. We use Skype for pretty much the entirety of our podcasts when people are not in studio.
Yeah, when they're not in studio.
That's another thing that the capacity for mobile interaction, either video or audio that way, is really easy and completely free. It costs us nothing. And so Google Hangouts are another way. You can get 4 or 5 people on something. You can talk through a project with all of us sitting in our respective living rooms. And it's so those kinds of things are just, you have to get comfortable with it. I don't like Skype or Google Hangout for social purposes, but it's become just a normal rhythm of work to include those things. And so it's those are essential. Like if you don't use those, you are crippling yourself.
Yeah, because you can split or share a screen and walk people through things, give them the ability to walk you through a document. Here, I'm going to give control of the meeting to you. Walk through this document.
Well, I'm sure. I mean, there are a multitude of tools out there. What we listed is kind of what we use and how we use them in general. And I hope that just gives listeners some sense of ways to use these tools to realize that if you're going from a localized workforce to a mobile workforce, the transition will probably have some bumps, but there are a lot of things that make it pretty easy. So those clear expectations, the tools, the good communication, those kinds of things. Hope this has been helpful to you, listeners, church leaders, business leaders, whoever you are. Before we sign off, I do want to highlight again our sponsor, Southeastern Seminary. Go to sebts.edu/5LQ to learn more about their degrees, learn more about their distance education options. I always want to highlight that because I know we have listeners who are nowhere near Wake Forest, North Carolina, but you can still take advantage of the great classes, the great professors, the courses that they offer. So sebts.edu/5LQ, go check out Southeastern. Use the code 5LQ if you decide to apply and you will get a discount on your application. Thanks so much for listening and tune in next time.
Thank you for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Remember, you can get a free 2-week trial of Ministry Grid at ministrygrid.com/howitworks. Try it out and see how it can help you develop leaders at your church.